Back in October, I had the chance to spend Sunday morning with the young people in our religious education program. As I met the adults of this fellowship, I wanted to meet the young people as well. Because many of these young ones grew up in this fellowship, and I am the first minister, I wondered if they knew very much about what ministers do. So I thought maybe we would have some things to talk about. So after the opening of the service on that day, we all settled into the classroom right over there, and the kids started work on art projects and were talking to each other about school. And on this particular Sunday, much like today, we had a large group of school-aged boys. There were six of them. And one very strong young lady who did a good job of holding her own amidst all of those boys. There was a lot of energy in this room. And as I listened to them, they struck me as a thoughtful and quite bright group of young people. So I introduced myself, and I asked them what they thought ministers do. Without hesitating, one of the young men said, "Ministers talk." Well, that didn't take very long, I thought. Did I mention that these are especially bright kids? And then after just a few more seconds, one of the other boys said, "Ministers eat and go to the bathroom just like everyone else." Yes, I recalled, school-age boys are quite enamored of all things scatological. It brought to mind my two younger brothers when we were young. "Well, that's true," I said. "What else do ministers do?" Someone else offered, "Ministers are special." And someone else said, "No, ministers are people just like everyone else." And then the young lady spoke up and said, "Ministers help out at church." This summed it up nicely, and after a few seconds of quiet, the conversation was on to other, no doubt, much more interesting topics. Yes, these are very bright and perceptive young people. They give me hope for our future. And as far as ministers are concerned, their observations were correct. Ministers are people just like everyone else, and we do help out at church. With my invitation to serve the fellowship this year, there's been a lot of attention on the minister. Understandable, since having a minister is a pretty new thing around here. We've talked about this year as an experiment in shared ministry. So today, I'd like to broaden our attention beyond minister to ministries. Recently, we asked members and friends to answer some questions about the goals set for ministry this year. This summer, the transition team, the board, and I set four goals for ministry, which were based on the priorities that you identified in the survey that you did when you were considering hiring a minister. The four goals are developing a Unitarian Universalist identity and strengthening the connection to the larger denomination, spiritual deepening, connecting to the larger community, and experiencing and building trust in shared ministry. In this fall's survey, we asked how important shared ministry was to you and what shared ministry meant to you. There were 44 of you who responded. 35 of you said that shared ministry was important to you, and 9 said that it wasn't. Your thoughts about the meaning of shared ministry fell into several categories. Many of you said that to you, shared ministry meant inviting a minister into the fellowship. Many of you said that it meant sharing leadership of the fellowship between a minister and the members and friends. A few of you said that it meant sharing our work with the larger community. And a few of you said that it meant having a variety of ideas, perspectives, and opinions. And all of you are correct. Shared ministry means all of these things and much, much more. In the past few years, shared ministry has become one of those trendy things that is catching on in the mainstream religions. As I researched this sermon, I found denominational papers on shared ministry put out by the Baptist Church, the Episcopal Church, and, of course, Unitarian Universalists. In reality, shared ministry is an ancient idea that we are just now rediscovering. Shared ministry first appears in the early Christian church and came from the idea of the priesthood of all believers. The early church had no priests. It was informal, non-hierarchical, and egalitarian. For example, it included women in leadership roles. The idea was that the divine was to be understood and experienced only through Jesus, not mediated by anyone else, such as a priest or clergy. It included the idea that everyone has gifts to share and was called to contribute those gifts to the larger mission. Over time, this egalitarianism was replaced by hierarchies. Those with power made many decisions about doctrine, such as what was in the gospel and what wasn't. Doctrine was modified to put priests between God or the divine and the people. In 1517, the church that the priest Martin Luther railed against was a Catholic church where priests were said to have exclusive access to the holy, and some of those priests granted access to God by selling indulgences. Luther thought that this was a corrupt church. Legend has it that Luther nailed his 95 theses, his beefs with the church, to the cathedral door in Wittenberg, thus beginning the Protestant Reformation. The roots of Unitarianism are buried deep in the fertile soil of the Protestant Reformation. Those who would come to be known as Unitarians took the Reformation even further by not only questioning the doctrine of priestly authority, but they also questioned the doctrine of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost. They questioned basic church doctrine of the time, all the while maintaining that every person has the right to discover their own direct connection to the divine. From the very beginning, Unitarians rejected the idea that clergy were above everyone else, and that only clergy had access to God. One of the ways that we UUs practice shared ministry is through what we call congregational polity. Congregational polity is the idea that power lies with individual congregations or fellowships rather than with a denominational hierarchy. We do have a Unitarian Universalist Association, but it is just that, an association of independent congregations. Each congregation can determine whether to associate with the UUA or not. This fellowship sought and was granted membership in the UUA in 2010. The coming together of our independent congregations is governed by covenant or agreement about how we would be together. It's not governed by a hierarchical structure. Because each congregation is independent, each calls or hires its own minister. Some of my new colleagues in McMinnville from other faith traditions are here because their denominations assigned them here. Neither they nor their churches or their congregations had a choice in the matter. In our denomination, only a congregation can ordain a minister. The UUA does not have that authority. And every year, each UU congregation or fellowship can decide on its own whether to send annual dues to the denomination. So we are a denomination that empowers congregations. This is part of our history and it grows out of our dislike for hierarchy and a general mistrust of authority. This thread always leads to discussion about leadership and ministerial authority, and this leads to the idea of shared ministry. We UUs believe that the ministries of a congregation do not belong just to a minister. They belong to everyone. They are shared. So what does it mean that ministries are shared? Well, UUFM had ministries before I came and will have ministries after I leave, whenever that might be. There is a ministry of worship, of cares and concerns, of social action, of outreach, of hospitality and membership, of religious education, and more. You might recognize these as names of committees. They reflect the work of the ministries of this fellowship. This year, you invited me to join you in your ministries, and I feel privileged to be asked by you. So now we are learning another aspect of shared ministry, that of the relationship between a minister and a fellowship. To help with this learning and transition, the board has selected and installed a committee on shared ministry. We do like our committees. There are four members who have agreed to serve on this committee, and I'd like to invite them to stand. Suzanne Teller was on the search committee and the transition team, and she will now serve on the committee on shared ministry. She'll be joined by Phil Newman, by Beth Dell, and by Fan Holm. Thank you all for your service. This committee will be responsible for keeping an eye on the fellowship as a whole, all of the ministries of the fellowship. They will not do the work of the other committees, and they will not do the work of the board. They will serve the fellowship by paying attention to how we are fulfilling our mission and how we are doing that together. So why is shared ministry important? Well, I believe it's important because it is not only a part of our heritage, it is part of our future. Shared ministry is based on the idea that everyone has gifts and is invited to bring their gifts to the table. It takes different gifts to do all of the work that we are called to do, and none of us has all of the gifts. None of us, not even ministers. Some of us are called to create worship. Others feel called to teach. Some are called to welcome, and others feel called to plan. And some of us commit to a vocation of ministry, bringing our unique gifts into the mix. This model for being together in shared ministry is important because it is a spiritual practice. This practice opens us up to asking some of our biggest spiritual questions. Questions like, who are we? Who are we as a fellowship? And why are we here? What is our purpose? What is our mission? Shared ministry also calls us to ask directly what I think is one of the most pressing and urgent spiritual questions of our time. How are we to be together? You see, my theology is pretty much summed up in our seventh principle. We affirm and promote the interconnected web of existence of which we are all a part. We are all connected. So given that we are all connected, how are we to live and thrive together? Shared ministry invites each of us to be vulnerable, to open ourselves to different ways of thinking, of doing, and of being. It invites us to explore and express who we are individually and collectively and why we are here, individually and collectively. It invites us to step up with minds and hearts and hands wide open. When we share ministry, we may not always agree. Given a group of UUs, it's pretty much guaranteed that we're not going to agree on everything. We may not always think alike. We may hold different beliefs. It's easy to be in relationship when we agree. A real test of community is how we are together when we disagree. That's what makes this such an important spiritual question. How are we to be together? This question is crucial on the world stage as we grapple with the violence of war and refugees who are fleeing that violence, as we struggle to understand a fundamentalism that leads to death and destruction. It is crucial as a nation, as we strive to overcome political divides that prevent governing in such a way that protects the health and welfare of all of our people. It is important as a state, as we seek to overcome economic downturns and the impact that it's had on all of us in this state. And it is important for our fellowship as we face some crucial questions about our future. As one of you so beautifully put in your survey response, the way we live our lives, and therefore how we treat each other, is our ministry. I've talked a little bit about the history of shared ministry, how it looks in our denomination and congregations, and what you think shared ministry is. Here's what I think it is. To me, shared ministry is an invitation. It's an invitation that we both offer and accept. It's an invitation for each of us to open our minds, to share our gifts with each other and with the world. It is an invitation for each of us to open our hands, to share of ourselves in service to a larger mission. It is an invitation to open our hearts, to be in relationship even when it's hard and we might not agree. It is an invitation for all of us to bring our gifts to the table and to be of service. As we practice shared ministry, we can be a beacon of light, an example to the world about how it is we can be together. In the next few months, we will be having conversations about this experiment of shared ministry. You'll be asked whether the fellowship wants to continue with a minister, and if so, who that minister could be. As we have these conversations, I invite you to think about all of the ministries of this fellowship. I believe the question isn't so much whether you like me or any other minister, but rather, does a minister help the fellowship fulfill its mission and ministries? One of my first duties as your minister this summer was to participate in a board retreat. And at that retreat, I had the privilege to read a poem written for the day by our own Phoebe Newman. Her words came to mind as I reflected on today's theme of shared ministry. Phoebe's poem is aptly titled, Poem for Retreat. Here amid the high trees, amid softening light, our many voices lift our hopes into the summer sky, joining the harmonies of birdsong and wind. And we listen, for each of us has a singular dream that will join with others to create the thoughtful and loving ideas cradled, as the earth does, the dazzling treasure of the future. May our heads, hands, and hearts open to the invitation that is shared ministry. May we extend our invitation to all those who may wish to join us. And may our many voices unite in a song that serves all creation into our shared future. May it be so. I invite you now into a time of meditation, reflection, or prayer. Let us hold silence together. I invite you now to share your comments or ask questions about shared ministry.
Is it working?
No, it's Eric's fault.
Eric's fault. Big proponents of getting a minister, and this was several years ago we started talking about it. I had my exposure to organized religion has been through the Salem UU Church. Was the first time I really had ever gone to church. And with Rick Davis there, I saw how he truly does shared ministry. So that was my only role model or idea of what it would be like. And so I thought that was a no-brainer. I was like, well, of course we'd want somebody like that here. But finding out then when we started having discussions, that wasn't everyone's experience. And I have to say that I am very relieved and excited and all kinds of emotions bundled up with how you truly are experiencing and working with us as a shared ministry, and that it isn't a top-down kind of thing, which there are several people who really feared. I did not see that coming from a UU minister, and you have embodied that as well. And I'm on the worship committee, and you have just brought so much to that committee or that ministry that, you know, as we've gone along from, you know, because there is no, you know, UUA coming down and forming us and all that, you know, when we came together as a group, there were a group of us who were like, well, we don't know what we're doing. Do you know what you're doing? No. Do you know what you're doing? And so we just had to do it as best we could with some assistance from the district, but it was really our own thing. And so to have somebody come in with some more knowledge, and yet you've spent the time and the studying and all that to really gather a broad range of experience and knowledge about Unitarian Universalism has just been, in my eyes, invaluable. And so I just thank you for what you have brought so far, and I think it's been a grand experiment that I'm looking forward to the rest of the year.
Thank you for the kind words. We are a denomination that empowers congregations and speaks of shared ministry, and yet ministers are people too. And we have our own unique styles, and there are ministers who are more on the hierarchical side than others. So it's always about finding a good fit between a congregation or a fellowship and a minister, and when that happens, it's a magical thing.
I like how you described the shared ministry committee. No,
committee.
Ministry. The group of people who are fabulous, the four people, that means, see, what we've never really had is some kind of oversight, which you provided immediately, which you described, but on all the ministries. But that means that could, I'm not saying we would get rid of the minister, but I mean, this is the first time we've actually had a committee that's looking at the whole thing. So I thank you for that.
Thank the four folks who said yes when I asked them. And you're right, Barbara, whether or not the fellowship has a minister, the Committee on Shared Ministry can continue in that role. And some folks have said, so what's the difference between that and the board? Well, the board really has a more administrative, financial, policy-based governance of the fellowship. You know, what are the nuts and bolts and finances that need to happen? The Committee on Ministry is going to be looking at, are we fulfilling our mission? You know, there's a reason that we're here in McMinnville, in Oregon, in the U.S., in the world. And so are we doing what we're called to do, and how can we do that the best?
So it's interesting because we're between two worlds, going to the Eugene UU Church and then also managing to come here about monthly still.
And we're delighted to see you.
So we participated in a meeting a little while ago where we learned about how the UU Church of Eugene is also moving to this sort of shared ministry model, which didn't exist there previously. They're coming to it from a really different place of having had a paid minister and other paid staff for a long, 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 long time and having existed as an organization for a really long time. And so our first impressions of that church were, oh, this isn't very participatory. Like, this is like, people are paid to broadcast things, and people consume whatever's being broadcast by the people who are paid to do it, which is like very different than McMinnville's very participatory community. So it's interesting, they're kind of doing the opposite. Like, we're like, how do we deal with this paid person who's a minister? We're used to doing everything ourselves. And they're kind of like, how how do we take up the mantle of like sharing this ministry that, that traditionally resides more with the people who are paid to do that work? So, and not to say that people aren't participating there, but it feels very much like the core functions of the church have always really resided with the people who are paid staff. And so anyway, it's kind of interesting to see both groups grappling with these questions and coming at it from a different perspective. And I just think UFM is in such a great place to really think more broadly about how do we share the work.
And that question of how are we to be together doesn't go away, no matter what size congregation or group you are.
I think as a participatory fellowship, we have the much easier path than the folks in Eugene who already have the long history of structure and tradition, if you will. And boy, I'm glad we not only have the easier task, but I'm delighted that we have the task with the person that we do. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Susie. One of the things I would say is, one of the things we study in seminary, it's not all theology, is church congregations and how they form and grow. And one of the things that happens as congregations grow is they bring on more paid staff. And oftentimes the volunteerism that started a congregation or fellowship falls away. And so a church gets bigger and they bring on more staff, and then all of a sudden it's like, where did the people go? And so one of the things that I'm real aware of in my coming is, let's not get rid of the where, let's not in 5 years have you asking the question, where did the people go? Let's keep this ministry shared. Yes.
A while back, I went to another church, and this was years and years ago. And first it seemed okay, and then they came the time for, we need carpeting downstairs in the basement to, and it was a fairly large church. It was so structured, so staged, that before he could even finish the sentence saying they needed to raise this much money, somebody had a check already signed for $100. Here it is, here's the money. It was just so structured, so staged, it locked its heart. I really hope that doesn't happen here.
Me too.
Well, just to change the focus here a little bit, shared ministry can also mean sharing with the outside community, and I wanted to sort of go on to that track and talk about all the opportunities we have here to work with other like-minded people who might not be part of UU, but who have common cause with us in many ways, and how can we collaborate more and share our ministries with other people with similar ministries?
Exactly. Thank you for calling that out. And one of the other things I would just mention is, it's not always folks who share our liberal tradition. There are things that we have in common with folks who have a very different theological base than we do, but we come to the same place. So there are social justice issues that we share with all kinds of folks. We may not agree on much else, but we can agree on some things. And that's really, really the challenge, is finding those things where we can come together. We don't have to agree on everything. We can agree on something.
Take the doctrine part out, and the ministry can still be the same.
Exactly. Ministry and doctrine don't have to be joined together. That's what Luther was being angry about in the 1500s. We're still as anti-authoritarian as he was. Any other comments or questions? Thank you for your thoughtful comments.